You misjudge our relationship, vampire. I hissed out the lie, as the air took on a bitter taste from my own inability to admit the truth. Only you would ask this of me. Notice how the rest of the council members have already fled the city, and yet here you stand. She lifted her head. Here I stand. Damn it, woman. I closed my eyes for a few brief seconds, allowing a sliver of humanity to slip through. God, it burned, nearly slicing me in half, as my angel blood roared with anger at the weakness. Strength and weakness could not coexist, not for long. Eventually my angelic blood would destroy what humanity I had left. I'd felt it since the beginning of time. I knew, one day, it would no longer be possible. This was not that day. 12. I sighed. I will save 12. Eva bowed her dark head.
Thank you, Cassius.
Do not thank me.
I will always.
She took a step forward and held out her hand.
Thank you, when you show the weak mercy.
I took Eva's hand without thinking, and was nearly brought to my knees as the emotional connection she offered burned through our palms. She had no idea what her touch did to me, what it made me crave. Earthquake, I whispered again. This time the ground beneath us split down the middle. I pulled Eva into my arms and envisioned the docks. We landed with a thud against the wood. People scrambled about mindlessly, as the ground shook, and then the volcano erupted into the sky. It would be the ash and the gas that would destroy the people, the heat alone. I refused to think about it.
You promised,
Eva reminded me, as she stepped into the boat and waited. I glanced at the pier. You, I pointed to a young boy. Where is your family?
I...
The boy's face was spattered with dirt and blood.
They got trampled, sir.
Then come, I instructed. He stepped into the boat. Eva embraced him and offered a warm smile.
11 more to go, Cassius,
Eva said. Irritating vampire, I grumbled, as with each life I saved, the darkness receded, restoring my humanity. Within 5 minutes I had another 11. All children. Let's go. I waved my hand in the air, as the water carried the ship to safety. When I turned back to glance at the once great city, it was to see Sariel hovering over the volcano, his eyes sad. Clouds spread around his wings, and then a large being descended next to him.
The Angel of Death,
Eva whispered, linking her hand with mine. We watched as his black feathers descended slowly, covering the city until all was blackness. And then, it rained red. Chapter 13. Cassius. The screams of people I'd killed seemed to lessen the farther I walked into my house. It had always been a safe zone. Quiet, where I conveniently forgot all the blood that was on my hands. My heart, stupid muscle that it was, refused to stop slamming against my chest as perspiration collected around my temples. My knees buckled. My vision blurred. It wasn't a heart attack, I at least knew that much. No, it was more like deep-rooted fear. Fear she would find out before I had my chance to convince her of what? That I wasn't as cruel of a bastard as she'd originally thought. That I loved her beyond what logic told me. That my entire being felt like it had been waiting for her. So close to blurting out the truth, telling her everything. And then what? She'd laugh in my face. The words about burst from my lips. But I knew no matter what I said, if my actions didn't match them, the outcome wouldn't be in my favor. I was doing a damned horrible job of even getting her to see me as a friend and as a lover. Something told me I was going backward when I should have been going forward. Agitated, I clenched and unclenched my fists as I made my way through the dark house. I hadn't returned since that fateful night with Sariel. Not sure why. Maybe because this house, this haven, reminded me of who I was. And I was trying desperately to be anyone but that person. I flipped on the nearest switch. Light flooded into the large living room, a place I'd spent many years sitting in, reflecting, reading, shutting out the world, because as much as everyone would love to believe that I adored passing judgment on immortal and human beings alike, it wore on me. Half-angel meant that although I was damn good at what I did, I still ached for something more. "This is..." Stephanie did a circle of the room, her eyes most likely taking in the floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, filled with dusty reminders of just how old I really was. Manuscripts flooded the large oak desk. Ancient scrolls were tossed onto the floor beneath it. A coffee maker older than Genesis sat in the corner near two large purple cushioned chairs. The bay windows overlooked the lake, and large black velvet curtains were pulled back with gold rope, revealing the beautiful view. "So not what I expected." She picked up a book and frowned. "You have an original copy of Pride and Prejudice?" I shrugged. "Never read it." She gasped and then closed her eyes. In horror? Disappointment? I wasn't sure. I wasn't near as good at reading anymore, but I felt embarrassment wash over me all the same. "You've never read one of the most classic love stories of all time?" "Love story?" I parroted, feeling like an idiot. Why hadn't I thought of that? Books. I could read books about love. I could give her books. Stephanie's smile widened as she opened the first page. "It's yours," I blurted. She glanced up, her lips curving up into a dazzling smile. "Why, thank you, Beast." "Hardly the time to call me names," I grumbled. She placed the book back down on the table. "It was a joke. You know, Beauty and the Beast? He gives her a library." "Well, damn, and here I just gave her one book. Another fail. I don't have a library." Stephanie pointed around the room. "Kinda seems like you do." "I like to read." "I can see that. Though clearly not romance." Why was conversation so stilted? And why the hell was I tapping my foot like I was an impatient bastard? I'd never felt so uncomfortable in my life. Confidence used to ooze from every cell in my body. I never worked for it, never had to. I knew what I was, and what I was capable of. Now, uncertainty laced my every breath. "So," I coughed into my hand, and turned around so she wouldn't see the panic on my face. "I just wanted you to see." I felt her come up behind me. The chill caused goosebumps to rise across my flesh. Ice crystals formed along the edges of the windows. "You wanted me to see... what exactly?" I bit my lip in frustration. "Me." I hung my head. "I wanted you to see me. It may seem ridiculous, but when I'm not doing my actual job for the immortals, or serving my sentence as I'd always put it mildly, I'm here, reading, relaxing." I spread my arms wide, rejuvenating, pushing out the negative swirl of emotions that grate on a person like me, for doing what I did on a daily basis. "I like it," Stephanie finally said, her voice husky. "As far as lairs go, yours is way better than Ethan's. Much more gothic." I coughed out loud. "Yes, well, we both know vampires prefer light to dark." Stephanie touched my arm. I flinched. "Did I hurt you?" "No." I pulled away slowly. "I think it's instinctual. Every time you touch me, I shy away. Not because it hurts. Maybe it's a deep-rooted fear that all humans have, and now that I'm fully human. I shrugged.
Can I control you?
Stephanie's eyes narrowed.
Technically, a Dark One can't come into contact with an unmated human without them going insane with desire. Lust. I mean, why aren't you...
She blinked and then looked down.
I can't believe I just asked you that.
Why am I not overcome with insanity in your presence? I chuckled. It was nice to see her uncomfortable for a change.
Yeah.
Her chest rose and fell with even breaths, and I concentrated on her breathing. It made me calm, counting every inhale, every exhale. I imagine Sariel wouldn't think it fair.
Fair?
I clasped my hands behind my back. But you're welcome to try. Stephanie rolled her eyes.
How do you know I haven't been trying?
Because I'm alive. Her eyes widened.
So if I try, I kill you?
Possibly. Who really knows?
No thanks.
Take a chance.
No.
She stepped farther away from me, her back colliding with one of the bookshelves. I pursued, nearly slamming my body against hers, not because I wanted to force her, but because I couldn't help the aggression pounding through my veins. When she retreated, I wanted to pursue. I couldn't help myself any more than I could stop myself from breathing. "Where's your sense of danger and adventure?" I taunted, pressing my hands to her cold arms.
"Try. I could kill you."
"I'll try not to die."
"Oh,"
she muttered, and cursed under her breath.
"How reassuring."
"Do it."
"No."
"Oh, so you're afraid?" I nodded mockingly. "Don't think I've ever met a Dark One who experienced fear." Her nostrils flared.
"Don't push me."
The room temperature plummeted. I arched an eyebrow, then very slowly leaned forward and whispered in her ear. "Chicken." It was immature. I knew that. She knew that. But it didn't stop her reaction. With cat-like reflexes, she pushed me across the room. I landed perfectly in the chair. She jumped into the air and pounced, straddling me with both legs. One tilt of her head, and our eyes locked. Hers turned white. It was eerie, watching someone else do what I'd done thousands of times, this time with me being on the receiving end. I was completely riveted by the way she looked at me, as if I was the only being in existence. My breath came out in a gasp as the room dropped below zero. Ice crackled across the surface of the wood floor. Moisture, once clinging in the air, frosted the windows. "That all you got?" I licked my nearly frozen lips. Stephanie leaned forward, her nails digging into my arm.
"I'm not exactly practiced in the art of Dark One's seduction."
The next step. Was I teaching her this again, when I was so weak? Right, because if I died, it would all fall to her. If I failed, she was the last.
"Yes?"
"The marking." Her eyes swirled back to blue, then went white again.
"Yes, that sounds like a good idea. How do I... what do I..."
Her focus wavered. She was unsteady, too new, too unpracticed. I imagined she wouldn't have the concentration to actually kill me. Two choices. The human side of me was ready to bolt out of the chair and find a weapon. I stayed put, even when her nails dug deeper. Warm blood started trickling from my arms. "You mark with your mouth or your hand?" Stephanie nodded. The room got colder. Damn, maybe I'd just freeze to death. Clearly, I hadn't thought through all the horrible scenarios. "You take your palm and press it against the neck, cupping the human flesh. You simply force your will upon them, whatever it is. Do you need a slave? What about a task completed? How about undying love and devotion? What you need, you think, You force it upon them so heavily that it becomes the very air they breathe. Without you, they would die. You must believe it, so they will believe it." Stephanie nodded and pressed her palm against my neck. The stirring of ice flickered through my veins. Or, it was freezing, yet I felt cold and clammy, like being hot and cold at the same time. "You mark with your mouth. More personal. No drawing of blood. Think of it as a love bite. It's more personal, because angel blood is in every cell of your body, including your saliva. Therefore, your blood comes into contact with a human, regardless of how strong you are. It will work, because human blood yearns for it." "Why?" Her eyes darted back and forth. She was tiring. "Good." I slowly moved my arms, her nails released. "Because humans want power. They were born wanting more. And the minute they experience a fraction of what more feels like, they want it all." My gut clenched, as memories of the last time humans got a hold of immortal blood assaulted me. I destroyed them all. Well, almost all of them. Demons were allowed to live, but at what cost? There was no warning, no hesitation on her part. One minute I was talking, the next, her mouth was on my neck, her tongue swirling a devastating design across my skin, her breath freezing my veins in the most delicious way. Visions of us together flashed through my brain, kissing, making love, holding hands, laughing. And then the vision altered, and I was on my knees in front of her. Her, shaking as blood ran down her hands. I was still as a statue. And then she pulled the knife from my chest and tossed it on the ground, her eyes wide with fear, as darkness swirled around her like a smoke, invading her nostrils. Sariel watched with sadness as I clutched my chest, but I wasn't recovering. I was not healing. A tear slid down his cheek as darkness consumed me. I fought. I lost. And light flashed. Stephanie jolted back from me, her eyes filled with horror. "What just happened?" My heart splintered in two. Rage consumed me. "You will betray me."
"What? No. I was trying to show you."
"You were trying to impose your will." I stood on shaky legs. "Instead, you showed me my future." Stephanie covered her mouth with her hands. "I think we're done for the evening." Numb, I walked over to the light switch and flicked it off. "After all, Ethan will be expecting us."
"Cassius, I had no idea. Futures can change, can't they?"
"I'm tired." I ignored her question. "And so are you." Chapter 14. Cassius. Greece. 79 AD. What do we do with them? I stared at the children, completely dumbfounded. I possibly hadn't thought that through. They needed parents. They needed something.
"Well, we can't eat them,"
Mason grumbled, crossing his arms. He'd been hungry for 2 days. But tough shit, because we'd been at the docks for the past 48 hours to make sure nobody escaped. We couldn't take the chance that any of the infected humans made their way over land or sea to the general population. The screams of the dead caused my head to ache. It couldn't be avoided. Their souls were upset. They had a reason to be upset. It wasn't their time, but it couldn't be avoided. I always dealt with a heavy hand, not that I took it lightly. Humans needed to know there was a reason to fear the immortals. To double-cross us was to invite death.
"The princess,"
Eva sighed.
"The demon came for her when you started burning the city."
"And what did Timber have to say for himself?" I kept my eyes focused on the horizon as smoke filled the air.
He screamed at me. Though he was able to take her as far as the door, Mason took care of the rest.
You killed him? My eyebrows shot up. He was a powerful demon, just as old as us. He'd been alive since the fall of man. He ran. Mason sighed. I got 2 bites in before he disappeared. Damn. The horizon wasn't changing. There were no boats, only blackness.
So,
Eva's scent was altogether too intoxicating. I moved away from her so I could think.
What are we going to do with the children?
Sariel can never know. I breathed out an irritated sigh and glanced at Eva out of the corner of my eye. Understood? Blood must always be spilled, and once judgment was passed, mercy did not exist. Because of my weakness for a woman, I could never have. I allowed it. Eva's green eyes blazed as she gave me a firm nod. A vampire's word meant everything. I knew she would take it with her for eternity, and I imagined the children will do what children do. One last look at the horizon, and I snapped my attention back to Mason and Eva. It shouldn't be too hard to find them homes. But Eva, she was already hugging one of the boys who'd started to cry for his mother.
Yes?
They aren't your children. I said it slowly. The minute they have homes, you are never to see them again. Children notice more than adults do. It would take them mere days to figure out something was different about you. And I'm not sure how Sariel wants to proceed. I imagine we are going to need to be more careful regarding to whom we reveal our true selves.
All right.
Her eyes went back to their natural brown color as she started singing to the little boy. My chest felt like someone had cracked it open, seeing a small boy in her arms. That's what it would look like, if she were mine. But that existence wasn't for me. It would never be a part of my future.
Chapter 15. Stephanie. The front door slammed so hard I was afraid it was going to crack right down the middle. Cassius rushed past Ethan like I was chasing him with a gun, and he actually pushed Mason out of the way to reach the upstairs bedrooms. Another door slammed. I winced. Trouble in paradise, Alex joked as he waltzed lazily out of the kitchen. His smirk was undeniably irritating. If he wasn't family, I'd probably attack him, or at least freeze his ass for being such a pain in mine. No, I lied. He's human. They get grumpy when they don't sleep.
Uh-huh.
Ethan nodded.
You sure that's what you want to go with? He's tired.
Genesis walked into the hallway and stifled a yawn. Who's slamming doors?
Cassius,
Alex said helpfully.
I'm just going to come out and say it. He was uncontrollable when he was actually able to control his emotions and could choose not to feel. Now that he's human, he's a danger not only to himself, but the rest of us. How cute.
Mason chuckled.
The siren's afraid.
He winked.
Don't worry, the dog will protect you.
Alex flipped him off.
When has a siren ever needed protection?
I held up my hands. Guys, like I said, he's fine, just tired. We were at his house, and...
Whoa.
Mason froze in place, gaping at me. Then he shook his head as if coming to his senses.
Back up. He has a house.
I swallowed. Of course. Where else would he hang out?
Funerals, prisons, Antarctica.
Alex sighed and examined his fingernails.
Take your pick.
It was nice, I said defensively. All movement in the hallway stopped. Ethan was the first to speak.
Did you hurt him?
Oh, good grief. I pressed my fingers against my temples. No, I didn't hurt him. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Cassius is fine. The whole world is fine.
Fine.
Alex grinned.
My temper surged as I thought of freezing one of his fingers off. Ouch! Alex stumbled back against the wall, then held up his hand. What the hell was that? It felt like someone was sawing off my finger. I shrugged. His eyes narrowed. He's been teaching you tricks, damn him. Maybe. I pushed past him. Maybe not. Stephanie, Ethan called out. Wait. I paused in the doorway. What? There they went again with the shifty eyes and uncertain posture. I growled. Just tell me.
The numbers don't match.
What numbers?
Demons.
Ethan shoved his hands in his pockets.
According to our reports from last month, they've added another 60 to their ranks.
60? I blurted. But that's insane. They have to keep their numbers under 300. If they added 60... Ethan held up his hand.
It makes no sense, I know. They're claiming that they've been the victims of a vampire attack, leaving them with no choice but to... create.
My blood chilled. That's illegal, not to mention stupid. They can't just create more of themselves. Not without the help of angel blood. I hadn't been alive back when Pompeii was destroyed, but I knew the toll it took on all of them to this day. Ethan had said Cassius refused to talk to anyone for weeks. I knew there was more to the story. One of Cassius's closest friends had been killed soon after the city was destroyed, but nobody talked about it. Immortal blood should never be in the hands of the demons, because to create a demon, you had to give up your soul, and most souls didn't go willingly.
Right. Ethan sighed. But with this whole Cassius scenario, we can't really send him in there to settle things down.
Guilt crept over Ethan's face. Cassius truly was the only one who could control the demons, and if they went against him, he simply destroyed them with a snap of his fingers. Crap, I mumbled, searching Ethan's eyes. You want to send me? But you aren't ready, Genesis said softly. At least she was on my side.
We discussed this.
Mason crossed his arms.
I can take care of it.
Like hell,
Alex spat.
If any of us go, we're just putting ourselves in a situation that we may not be able to get out of without Cassius's help.
I licked my lips. Maybe I can talk to him.
Oh?
Alex's eyebrows shot up.
And how's that been going for you?
Another door slammed upstairs. What the heck was he doing? Just opening and slamming doors because he could?
Stephanie.
Ethan reached for my hands.
We need you. And for some reason he still won't explain, Cassius needs you too.
I hung my head. Shame filled me to the core. I was going to kill him. That was the future I had seen. I just didn't understand it. No way was I naive enough to believe that it was the only future ahead of us. Futures changed, just like the wind. I refused to concentrate on one so fleeting and meaningless. I loved Cassius. I would never hurt him. Ever. It would take ultimate betrayal. And even then, I wouldn't be able to follow through with it. Besides, love or not, he was my king. I'll try harder. I bit down on my lip, nearly drawing blood. I'll have him teach me, and I'll try to be less argumentative. Alex snorted. I glared in his direction, and he held up his hands. I can do it. I took another deep breath. This is my job, right? All of us have jobs on the council. Mine's just shifted a bit.
Right.
Ethan's eyes narrowed.
I'll send a few of my men with you just in case.
And by men, he means starving vampire soldiers who would love, and I do mean love, to get a good meal in.
Mason gave Ethan a fist bump and walked out of the room. Alex and Genesis followed. Ethan didn't budge. His green eyes flared to life. Oh, great. I'd somehow pissed him off. How, I wasn't sure. He stalked toward me, picked me up off the floor, and slammed my body against the wall as his fangs slowly slid out from his lips.
Tell me I can trust you.
In all the years I'd known Ethan, he'd never been violent toward me. Ever. I knew it was his love for Genesis that made him paranoid, but it stung that he thought so little of me. I swear. My voice trembled. I would never betray any of you.
Or Cassius.
Ethan's grip tightened on my neck as he squeezed. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew I could fight back, potentially kill him or hurt him, but I had no control over what I could and couldn't do. They were right. I needed Cassius. We all did. Never, I gasped. Ethan released my body abruptly. I crumbled to the ground and rubbed my neck. I was going to have marks from his fingers.
Betray us again.
Ethan shrugged, his fangs digging into his lower lip.
And I'll be forced to take you to Sariel.
My body chilled at the thought. Ethan, you can trust me. He nodded, his incisors retracted, and a friendly smile flashed across his face.
Good talk. Sleep tight.
I rolled my eyes and leaned my head back against the wall. Damn, vamps.
Heard that,
he yelled from the other room. I glanced down the hall and at the stairway. I could do this. I just needed Cassius's help. The last thing we needed was the demons gaining a foothold. The peace between immortals was only kept if each of the groups stayed within their boundaries, and if they kept to the council rules. If you wanted to procreate, you needed an approval human from the list, just like Genesis had been brought to us. She'd brought balance back to a world full of chaos, meaning we were already going to be opening up the calling again, where we'd call numbers of humans who were, in our opinion, superior to others and allowing them into our world. An immortal needed a human in order to create more immortals. Possibly the reason that we kept our numbers low was because for so long, the humans had died at our hands. But now things were working again. Thanks to Genesis and Ethan's love fest. I rubbed my neck again. If the demons were already picking off humans, we had a much bigger problem than Cassius trying to teach me millennia of self-control. We'd be faced with war, and possible annihilation. The Archangels only let us exist if Cassius ruled with an iron fist, and Cassius was at this moment throwing a temper tantrum upstairs, and his fists were anything but iron. The last time Cassius had shown mercy, immortals had died. I exhaled and rose to my feet. At least he only had 28 more days, and we'd have good old grumpy Cassius back. I'd miss the human one. He at least smiled, and in rare times, blushed.
Chapter 16 Cassius, Greece, 79 A.D.
Eva! I hissed out her name. She reeked of human. Where have you been?
Out.
Do not lie to me. I'd never been so angry before in my existence. I trust you will tell the truth, so I'll give you another chance. Where have you been?
Her shoulders slumped.
I can't stay away.
She shook her head.
I know I'm supposed to wait for a mate, and I will, Cassius. You know I'm patient. I just... The children are so innocent, so different from us. The way their minds work.
Her smile was contagious.
Just this morning, John said an entire sentence and was able to spell his name and...
John, I repeated.
You named them?
They had names,
she argued. If you want a pet, I'll buy you one. I stalked toward her as the air between us filled with an icy haze.
But you are not to visit the children any more. If Sariel discovers my treachery, it will be my head.
He won't,
Eva argued.
I promise, just at least let me say goodbye.
No.
Her entire face fell.
You've spent enough time there. Write a letter, but you are not to visit them again. Cursing, I press the fingertip against the inside of her wrist. Already you smell of human. When was the last time you fed? She frowned.
I don't know. A few days.
So, not only have you been with humans, you haven't been taking care of yourself? What if Timber returns, hmm? What if he tries to fight you? And because of your inability to follow the rules, he kills you. Eva hung her head.
I'm sorry, Cassius.
Stop being sorry, and simply be better, Eva.
All right. I will, Cassius. I swear it.
Chapter 17. Cassius. My body ached. What the hell had I done? I flexed my muscles and tried stretching my arms above my head, but nothing alleviated the pain. I slammed two doors, trying to gain control of my anger at my crippled state. Did humans have to deal with this on a daily basis? Not only was my body failing me, but my emotions were swirling out of control. I could taste fear on my tongue. It had a hollow, bitter flavor, and my brain wouldn't stop conjuring up images of Stephanie killing me, or my own father helping her do it. I wiped my face with my hands, and shuddered out of breath. Something wasn't right. Then again, how would I know? My IQ had dropped since the angel blood was no longer coursing through my veins. The only thing I could do was ask Stephanie for some of hers, but I figured that was the stupidest idea I'd ever conjured up, considering I had to win her affection by being human. I groaned in frustration, and lay back against the fluffy mattress, head pounding. I had 28 days left, and I was pretty sure I was actually getting worse as time progressed.
Hey there.
Stephanie walked into the room. I didn't get up, didn't look at her, just stared at the ceiling above, and wondered for the 10th time that evening what the hell I'd been thinking, trying to save us both, trying to love her when I clearly didn't even understand how.
Hi,
I grumbled.
Wow, someone's happy.
It hurts. I rose up on my elbows and glared. This ridiculous body hurts.
You're human. Aches and pains are part of it, I'm afraid.
She offered a tentative smile.
You could always take a painkiller.
Pills. I spat the word out. I've never needed help.
Maybe that's why.
Huh? Stephanie moved toward the bed and sat on the edge.
Maybe that's part of this test. Maybe Sariel did this so you learn to rely on others.
The idea had merit, even if it was totally off base.
Maybe.
So, Stephanie tapped her fingers against her thigh.
There's a slight problem with something.
My eyes narrowed. You look nervous.
How soon do you think you can get this training thing down with me? I mean, how much can we push the limits before you think I'll be ready to face things on my own?
Face things? She wanted to do it without me? I don't understand. What would you possibly have to face?
Demons?
She swallowed.
Say, an extra 60 shiny new ones with pointy horns and uncontrollable appetites?
Every muscle in my achy body tensed. What the hell? Please tell me that's your idea of a joke.
Afraid not.
Stephanie pushed away from the bed and walked toward the window, hugging her body.
According to Ethan, the numbers reported to us don't match. They've been creating.
That's forbidden, I yelled, jumping off the bed, ready to march down to their headquarters and light them all on fire. They know this. They wouldn't dare. Ever since Pompeii, the rules have been...
I know the rules.
Stephanie arched an eyebrow.
They dared, all right. They dared at least 60 times without calling a human number, meaning they're picking off randoms wherever they can find them.
My headache flared to life.
I can't do anything. Not as a human. I can. Stephanie turned to face me. Teach me what I need to know, and I can do it. But, please. Her blue eyes flashed a brilliant white, then dimmed and saddened, as she glanced away from me and back out the window. I have to help. I mean, you said you'd help me learn what I am, right? You said you were here to help train me. So what's the problem? The problem? I forced my irritation inward. The damn problem was that if I spent all my days training her, and believe me, it would take all day and all night, I wouldn't have time to romance her, to win her over, to prove my love. After tonight, I'd already decided to switch tactics. I needed to do better, dedicate my every waking moment to winning her the way she deserved. How the hell was I supposed to do that while training her? I'd be helping her access the darkest parts of her soul. I'd be hurting her. She'd be hurting me. It was a nightmare. Sure. My humanity won out, blurting the answer before my brain could catch up. Sure, I can do that. But I refuse to let you go into any of their compounds by yourself. You take either Ethan or Mason with you. Not Alex? She teased. I rolled my eyes. Sirens are all about love, not war. You know this. She nodded. I know firsthand. I had a hard time focusing on the words coming out of her mouth, especially when her eyes were so bright, so inviting. I looked away. You'll always have that part of you, Stephanie. The siren part? I smirked. Don't all women? Funny. I mean it. I frowned as a piece of her hair fell across her face, shielding those gorgeous eyes I was so obsessed with. Without thinking, I brushed her hair back with my fingertips. Her mouth opened with a little gasp. It was easy, casting a siren's glamour. Because you were so beautiful, it wouldn't take much convincing for other immortals to buy into it. Was it so wrong to hide her away for hundreds of years? To keep the truth of her heritage hidden from her, until now. At the time I was protecting her, thinking Sariel would kill her. Dark ones were still an abomination, regardless of our parentage. She gulped and looked down. Her chest rose and fell, though she didn't need oxygen. She was sucking it in like she was about to pass out. I'm sorry, I mumbled, for suppressing your powers. I did it. The words hung up in my throat. Out of love, out of devotion, out of fear. I did it to protect you. She glanced up. I know, Cassius. I'm not upset. Not anymore. I just wish... What? I stepped closer. Our bodies nearly touched. What do you wish? Why did you always walk away from me? I licked my lips and leaned in until our mouths almost touched. Walking away, when all I wanted to do was walk toward you, had to be the hardest thing I've ever done. But everything I did, every decision made, was in order for you to flourish, to survive, to become something great. She let out a little laugh. Wow, I must be such a disappointment then. I can't control any of my emotions, and I'm one hissy fit away from freezing your ass or killing people I love by simply willing it. You won't, I vowed. I mean, you won't kill your family, and you are the furthest thing from a disappointment. She shrugged. Look at me. Slowly, Stephanie lifted her head, her eyes filled with shame. You're perfect, I whispered reverently. And I wouldn't want you any other way. So, you want me now? She asked with an intriguing lilt in her voice. A smile gently curved her lips. I could tell she said it in a light-hearted way, but it didn't matter. I knew that. My heart skipped a beat anyway. More than you'll ever know. My answer surprised her. She took a step back, her eyebrows knit together like she was trying to figure out my answer. 28 days. My mind reminded me. With a flourish, I jerked her body against mine and kissed her. She melted against my body, and my body loved it. Drank her in like she was my salvation, my only reason for existing. I moaned, unable to control the sounds coming from my mouth. The physical reaction from my body as she deepened the kiss, as I tasted every inch of her mouth. "Ahem," someone said from the door. Stephanie jerked away from me. Was she ashamed? Or embarrassed? Irritated, I barked out, "What?" "Attack." Ethan moved into the room, followed by Mason. "At Belltown. We need to go investigate. It looks like a few demons got into it with a few vampires, though nobody's talking." Stephanie placed her hand on my chest. "We go, he goes." "Agreed," Ethan snapped. "We'll need his expertise, though if I tell you both to run, you run. Got it?" I rolled my eyes. "Don't," Ethan hissed in my direction, his eyes going green with fury. "You're both important. The last thing we need is one of you dying. A dead council member? A dead king? It would start an all-out war. We may already be there." My skin tingled with awareness. Something wasn't right. I just didn't know what. And I wasn't sure how I could help other than appear to look in control. Ethan cleared his throat and pointed at my body. "You need a glamour spell to hide your pasty human skin." "My skin isn't pasty," I said defensively, while Stephanie placed a hand against my chest. "I can do it." Mason stepped forward, an excited grin on his face. "Like hell you will," I yelled. "The last time you performed a glamour, you turned Alex into a woman." "On purpose," Mason sniffled. I rolled my eyes. "You were supposed to make him appear feminine. Big difference." "I'll do it." Ethan crossed the room at lightning speed, then slammed me into the wall. His incisors nicked the inside of my right wrist. "Eyes green," he murmured. "What I see, others see. What I know, others know." He reached behind him. "Stephanie, come here." I doubted Stephanie had ever seen a glamour performed, as it was usually male immortals who did it, and the only ones capable were Mason, myself, and Ethan, complements of our age and the hierarchy of the council. Eva had been the only woman capable of it, but she was gone, long gone. Once Stephanie reached my side, Ethan leaned over and bit her finger, then squeezed it over my wrist. 3 drops of blue blood splashed into my cut and healed it immediately. The veins in my wrist turned an angel blue as cold spread throughout my body. It was a familiar feeling, and I missed it. I closed my eyes and leaned my head back against the wall as ice overtook my entire body. I convulsed once, twice, and then opened my eyes. The room was brighter. The air sweeter. I was still human, but the angel blood fused with my cells enough to make me see better, my sense of smell more acute. It also took away the aches and pains in my body. "Well done, Ethan," Mason clapped twice. "He looks possessed again." I glanced at my reflection in the mirror across the room. My eyes were white, my skin glowing. Even my hair was shinier. Everything about me looked the same. But I was different. And I wondered in that moment if this was the beginning of the end, if I would ever be a Dark One again, or if I'd die trying to give Stephanie back the precious gift she should have never given me in the first place. Maybe she would be my downfall after all. The words echoed in my head. "Let her live. And she will hurt you," Sariel warned. "She's innocent," I screamed. "She's done nothing wrong." Sariel smiled sadly. "But she will. Believe me, she will.
Remember what your love did to you last time. Time's wasting.
Mason's eyes turned to black.
We need to hunt.
Stephanie reached for my hand. I squeezed it once, intent on letting go, but decided to hold it a bit longer, because she felt good, and because I knew I needed to start appreciating every minute I had with her, because something told me they would add up, and my time wouldn't just be over, but non-existent. Chapter 18. Cassius, Greece, 79 A.D. I followed her scent. I would stop her at all costs if things got out of hand. She'd promised. She'd lied. Again. I wanted to turn a blind eye, mainly because whenever Eva was near, the world didn't feel as dark or desperate. The way she laughed and smiled through her immortal life was a thing of beauty, and I hated being the one responsible for dampening that light.
"Shh! I'll return one day,"
she whispered to the little child. His face was wet with tears.
"Just be good for your mama, all right?"
He wrapped his tiny arms around her neck, then kissed her cheek.
"I love you."
The air filled with sadness, drenched with such a hollow emptiness that I sucked in a breath. Vampires weren't supposed to be so emotional. Leave it to a child to bring out the worst of human weakness in all of us. God forbid I ever felt such weakness.
"I love you too, John."
Eva set the boy on his feet. He reached up and captured one of her dark curls between his fingers, dropped it, and then turned on his heel and walked off.
"He's precious,"
she said aloud, already sensing my presence.
"It was his birthday. I couldn't allow him to think I didn't care anymore."
I crossed my arms. "Eva, there will always be something. A birthday, a holiday. You must leave him for good."
"I want children."
Eva hung her head as I approached her from behind.
"I've always wanted children."
I could taste her desperation in the air, as tension swirled between us. I'd known for a while Eva felt strongly for me, the way I felt for her. But a union between a dark one and a vampire would do nothing but present us with hurt feelings when a bond failed to take place. We could not mate with one another, and children were an impossibility. "I can't give you that," I whispered, setting my hand on her shoulders. She gripped my fingertips. I shuddered from her warm touch. Eva turned, her eyes green and beautiful, as they gazed up into my cold depths.
"We could adopt."
I smiled at that. "Humans adopt. And you and I will never be."
"Immortality."
She wrapped her arms around my neck. I never allowed such liberties.
"Not for the faint of heart, Cassius?"
No. The temptation to kiss her was too strong to deny any longer. My mouth descended, fusing with hers, creating a hum of energy between us, as her blood heated out of control. My touch cooled her, as fangs descended past her top lips. Our tongues twisted in a fight for dominance, as I lifted her into my arms. The last thing we needed was to be seen in a forbidden embrace. Not only was she a council member, but she was a vampire, not mine. She would end up with a snotty-nosed human, one who would get her pregnant, one who would love her like I never could. Slowly, I pulled away from her, my hands pressing against her wrists, as I lowered her arms to her sides.
"One day,"
her voice was filled with sadness,
"I'll be mated to someone, and you'll forget all about me."
"I highly doubt I'll ever forget your taste, Eva." The air charged with a thick, flowery scent. Eva's eyes widened, just as a voice said from behind me, "What have you done?"
Slowly, I turned. Sariel's eyes were white, his hair a blazing rainbow of blue and black streaks. His feathers protruded, then shuddered, as if they tasted the wrongness in the air.
Survivors?
He shoved past me and Eva, and pressed his fingertips against the door of the house.
Two survivors. How many more? And why aren't they destroyed?
I couldn't lie. It wasn't in my makeup as a Dark One to want to lie to my creator, to my father. I saved them. I admitted, while I grabbed Eva and shoved her behind me. I saved 12.
12?
Sariel roared, as the ground shook beneath our feet.
You were to destroy them all. Every last one.
I did not. Sariel's wings turned purple, the color of angelic royalty. He was about to pass judgment.
Then, you will die. Blood must always be spilled. You know this.
I nodded, unable to conjure up any guilt over doing something that gave Eva happiness, no matter how temporary. I took a step forward.
No!
Eva shouted.
It was me!
Eva!
I hissed out her name, and shoved her body into the nearest wall. She stumbled back and glared.
Stay out of this!
You will not die because of me!
Her eyes glowed green, as her fangs elongated past her bottom lip. Her gaze snapped to Sariel.
If you want a life, take mine. I asked Cassius to save them. It is I who is at fault.
Very well.
Sariel nodded.
You cannot be serious.
I charged Sariel, fists clenched.
She's a council member. She's been around for centuries. You cannot simply eliminate her for one bad choice.
Oh. Sariel's head tilted to the side as he pulled a purple feather from his wings and held it out in front of him. The edge was black, the color of the angel of death. He meant to truly kill her, to make her no more.
We live by the rules. We die by the rules, Cassius. She broke the rules. She dies.
But,
head held high, Eva pushed past me and got down on her knees, her head bowed towards Sariel.
Sariel, think about this.
I knew reasoning with him would do nothing, but I couldn't stop myself. This was Eva, my Eva. I'd had her by my side since I was created. She was the reason the darkness wasn't so dark, the reason I was always pulled back into the light. Without her, what was I?
And there it is.
Sariel nodded.
She makes you weak. She makes you second-guess your decisions. Not that it matters. One of you must die for this serious lapse in judgment. And Eva is right. The fault lies with her, and I need you to lead the immortals. Therefore,
he held out the feather to me.
Life is taken.
Cassius?
Eva whispered, tears filling her eyes.
I love you.
Sariel sucked in a breath. Now he knew. I'd failed him twice. Because I loved her back.
Eva, I will always love you,
I whispered, taking the feather from Sariel and holding it over her head. Sariel's anger was tangible.
Cassius, you are their king. She pays for your sin. Kill her.
I can't. My body was empty. So empty. Eva locked eyes with me.
Cassius, promise me you'll check in on John. Promise.
At death's grasp, and still she was worried for the boy,
I didn't understand that type of love, so maybe I'd never really loved her after all, had I?
I promise.
My voice shook as I pressed the tip of the feather to the base of her neck. It slid in through her skin. She slumped against my arms as immortality